That was a funny sign. I just had to start with this one. It looks like a typical sign until you read the whole thing. And I wonder how many people go by the zoo and never like finish the sign. And just be like, oh yeah, yeah, don't climb on it, yeah, if you fall in, right? Oh, wait a second. They really don't care about me, do they? They care about the animals. We have a family joke about Art Van. And I'm not picking Art Van, and if you're associated with Art Van, great. But whenever someone purchases something from Art Van, we'll say, did you get it on sale? Was there a sale? And it's funny how many people will say, well, yeah, I did. It's like, I don't know what week they don't have a sale. I mean, Art Van's the one place that could have a sale saying, this is the only week we don't have a sale. You know, if this week it's 6% off, or next week it's we'll pay your sales tax. Okay. I got that one, right? You know, it's like, it goes back and forth. And we've watched, as we go purchase something, we like to pay for it all cash up front and not go on a credit card situation. And so we'll shop around, and when we can finally afford it, so we'll watch for these sales. And it is so funny to watch, like on a Saturday night, them pulling all the prices and putting other prices in. So when the sale goes, it's the same price that it already was. But now, it's on sale. And it's a limited time offer. I mean, if you don't pay for it, if you don't buy it today, well, this sale ends today. They can give the same price tomorrow. You know, and not have to pay for it until you're my age. That's one of the sales I think they have. Buy now and pay when you're Randy's age. So this passage, though, that we're going through today really does have a limited time offer. This passage we're going through today has really touched my heart because I think it is a message that so dearly needs to be received today. I think it's a message that I would really appreciate if you would think it through, because we're being bombarded by a society that goes against this message. And this is so dear to what Christianity is about. It's about choice we have between two paths that we're going to take. And the passage goes from Luke 13, 22 through 28. It talks about the narrow door. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. That's time for a new slide. But once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading. But he'll answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he'll reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from you, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. And it's a really interesting passage because as Jesus is walking along, somebody says, a lot of people can be saved. It's almost the one we have today. Isn't everybody going to heaven? It's a loving God. Everybody will end up there, right? And so he's kind of throwing that out. And it's interesting because Jesus starts, I think, gentle with it. And he gives the idea that, it's a limited time kind of situation. But the time's going to come when the door closes and you won't get in. And he doesn't stay generic like saying, those who haven't repented. He kind of throws it right back at the person. And I wonder if, you know, Jesus reading his heart, if the guy is being one of the religious leaders saying, so what are you saying? Not many are going to be saved? And Jesus looking at him thinking, wow, you pretend like you're worried about all the other people, but you really need to worry about your own soul because you're not saved. And instead of me talking generalities, I'm going to take it right at you. Have you put your trust in me? Have you read what the prophets have written and how it points to me? That's Jesus speaking, not me, obviously. Okay? You know, how it points back to him. It's interesting because chapter 13 starts off with the people talking about saying, hey, did you hear in the news? You probably had this passage a couple weeks ago. Did we go right through it or did we miss? Okay. Chapter 13 starts off. It's interesting because the people say, did you hear about this group of people and like the tower fell on them? And it's kind of like, wow, they must have been really bad people. And Jesus says to them, his response is, and it's not a picture of Jesus, but you know, except you repent, you likewise will perish. And they're like, hey, did you hear about the story that, and then this happened to this group of people? And he's like, except you repent, you likewise will perish. And it's repeated twice. It's in verses 3 and 5 of this chapter, Luke 13, that unless you repent, you too will all perish. And it's this mentality that bad things happen to bad people. This plane that just went down into the river and no one died, it's amazing, right? And I like hearing the newscast because, like, either way, I think we need to thank him up there. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, just realizing what's from God. Is it because they deserved it or not? I don't think we can get into this mentality that good things always happen to good people and bad things always happen to bad people. What happens here on earth is a different mentality than our salvation. Our salvation, unless we repent and turn to God, we will perish. It's an interesting street sign. But it really gives the concept of repenting. You know, the turnaround. You're headed in one direction. Until we put our trust in Jesus Christ, whether we want to admit it or not, we are very self-seeking. And everything's about us. We have this, we're born with a sin nature. And although Isabel or Isabella or whatever we want to call her nowadays, because it's going to change through the years, is a charming child. Pathetic losing sinner. Right? You don't have to teach a child to sin. They automatically have a sin nature in them. And as we're going on this path on our own, at some point we need to lay it down, say it's not about me anymore, and turn around and point towards Jesus and give our lives up to him. What I want to go through today is about five different questions that as I go through this passage, I think these are questions that are being asked today. And I looked at, in 1999, they did one of these census kind of things. And it was saying that 51% of the people believe kind of like this mentality. That when we get to heaven, there's a scale with our name on it. And it'll be like the good things we did, bad things we've done. And as you look at it, if we've done enough good things, God will get down there and go, hey, you're good. Now for some of us, you might have to look a little closer. Some of you might be like, ooh. And then there's people who will believe that he'll look at it and he'll be like, the bad things we've done are outweigh the good things we've done. And he'll kind of like put his finger there and go, pull it down. It's like, oh, look now. You be good. I don't know if Jesus would use Ebonics or something. But, okay, but, you know, it's just like, this is all good now, right? And there's that mindset going around in our culture. And so I want to go through a couple questions. First one, does everyone go to heaven? I don't think those clouds actually happen that way, by the way. But does everyone go to heaven? Matthew 7, 13 through 14, which kind of goes along with this passage here, says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. I really believe that if we if I handed out a questionnaire to start off with, there's some very basic questions here of Christianity that people would struggle with. And this first question of, does everyone go to heaven? It's almost like the people say, like, kinda. How is that kinda? You're either going to heaven or you're not. Does everyone go to heaven? No. Matter of fact, you've taken a step further. It sounds like very few. That the mass majority of humans are going to hell. And there's only two places. There's heaven and there's hell. And I don't know to what extent we really grab onto this. That when we're in a normal situation, this room should be a major exception. But when our normal situation, driver's training, taking a test at school, the workplace, our neighborhood, when we look around, the majority of the people that we see are not going to heaven. That's very few. Not everyone goes to heaven. Is that what I'm saying, what I believe? That really doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. That's what makes it important. Is it what I want? Irrelevant. Even Jesus himself said his desire would be for everyone to be in heaven. But it's not going to be the case. There is an actual place of hell, a lake of fire, that is forever. And we really need to take grasp of that. First of all, you know, I started talking about the people around us, but even in this room, I'd like for you to ask yourself this. Do I personally realize that not everyone's going to heaven? Am I? Let me just make this statement. You will not get to heaven accidentally. It's not going to be a case where we die and we're taking it to heaven. It's like, wow, how'd this happen? Oh, because your parents were good people. Well, that's not going to happen. It is a conscious decision we make to follow Jesus Christ. And I do want to be careful with something. Because we'll talk about praying to accept Christ as Savior. It's not saying some magical prayer that we don't mean. It's an open sesame kind of thing, that if we know this special wording and say it the right way, that we get into heaven. It's more than that. To really believe in Jesus Christ. I would venture to say that most of you put your winter coat on before you got outside. You looked outside, you saw snow, and you believed that it was going to be cold. You probably didn't check the news to make sure, yep, it's cold. Didn't ask your parents, is it cold out? You went ahead, put your coat on. You acted, your lifestyle acted upon what you believed. If I believe in Jesus as being the Son of God and my Savior, it should affect my actions. Second of five questions. Semantics. Don't all religions lead to the same end? I found someone write some things on this. I like the way they wrote it because I really believe it's the way people talk, okay? It says, do all religions lead to God? Aren't they really just different paths to the same place, different perspectives on the same thing, and different names for the same higher power? Isn't the important thing that we just be nice to each other, being sincere in what we believe, and then just trust that God, whomever or whatever you might believe that to be, will accept us, all based on our belief that all of us are pretty good, and at least more good than bad? Furthermore, aren't we as Christians pretty ignorant and bigoted and self-important to say that we are the only ones who have the truth, that others are all wrong and destined for hell? Nowadays, shouldn't we certainly be more enlightened than to presume and suggest that Jesus is the only way? We couldn't possibly really believe that everyone else is going to spend eternity separated from God, could we? This is simply too intolerant, too narrow, too egotistical, isn't it? Shouldn't we just love others, accept them for who they are and what they believe, respect their views of religion, and definitely not try to impose our views on them? Isn't it better to believe that we are all ultimately headed in the same direction, and thus it doesn't really matter if you follow Jesus or Muhammad, if you are into Zen or Hinduism, or ancestor worship or Confucianism? Doesn't it make more sense to believe that we are all fellow travelers on this road of life, headed to the same destination but taking different routes? Aren't we all headed to the top of the mountain? We'll meet on the peak, but we start at very different places, take very different paths, use many different tools, but ultimately, don't we end up at the same place? And I really think that's the mindset that we're classified as being intolerant. We're judged for being judgmental, which is an interesting concept if you think about that. That we're the ones who are saying others aren't going to heaven. How can we say that? Isn't it really just, come on, believe in something, and if you believe in something, it's all going to be okay. Sounds good until you read Scripture. In John 14:6, very clear, Jesus answered, I am the way, not a way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All religions can't be correct when they disagree with each other. You know, I had somebody say that to me just this last week. They were saying, that really doesn't matter. It's whatever you think. And I said, well, I disagree with that. So am I right or are you right? If I disagree with your concept that we're all right, am I right in disagreeing that we're all right? Because then if I am, then we're not all right. But if you disagree with me, then you disagree with yourself because you just said we... And I really confuse them. I shouldn't say I really confuse them. I just pointed out to them that they are confused. I didn't confuse them. They did a nice job on their own. In Acts 4:12, and speaking of Jesus, says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which you must be saved. Some years ago, I was in a school setting, and I had shared that Jesus was the only way, and that if you didn't accept Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. As I'm in the school just waiting to talk to a couple students, this girl comes by and she said, he said I'm going to hell. And then she started yelling. It's a high school. And she started yelling it in the hall. He said I'm going to hell. He said I'm going to hell. I said, not quite correct. The Bible said you are. And the people are like, what? And I'm like, well, if you don't put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. And it was beautiful because she set the stage for me. It wasn't the stage I was really looking for. I was kind of like hoping for the stage to be, hey, Randy, it's nice to have you here. We love you. You're awesome. That wasn't the one I was getting. You know, this bad man. He says, I'm going to hell. He said, no, the Bible says that. And if you don't, and I was thrilled thinking back on it later because she's the one who understood the gospel. She hadn't accepted it yet, but at least she understood it. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord, for helping me explain it to her so she realizes that from your word she is lost. And then hopefully she then, from that, can be saved. You know, Christianity is really unique in these two points. I've shared them before, but God came to man versus man obtaining God. Most religions, it's somehow we have to find our way to God. God came to us in Jesus. That God died for man versus man dying for God. Most religions is trying to die for your God. The martyr's death. The heroic death for your God. And ours is really that our God died for us. Wow. Why would he die for us? You know, it's one of those situations where if President-elect Obama was to come into this room, and there weren't any chairs, You give them your chair. You know, it's that respect kind of situation. You give it for him. Instead of him, like, if you walked in, him giving you his chair. That's a unique situation. Much more so when it comes to death. Normally it's to serve your God, and here God comes down in a way to serve us. That's amazing. You know, the question that came up with that article earlier was, are we closed-minded? Intolerant? I want to go through a few slides real quick, but this one is Christianity, okay? Salvation is by God's grace, not by an individual's good works. Salvation must be received by faith. Must believe in their heart that Jesus died for their sins, physically rose again, which is assurance of forgiveness and resurrection of the body. This is God's loving plan to forgive sinful people. Okay, we say that's what Christianity is about. And I understand when people say we're intolerant and that we don't accept the views of others. I'm very, very convinced on the idea that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And if someone thinks there's another way to go there, I'm not tolerant of it. I cannot believe that God would allow Jesus to die if he didn't need to. Why would you let Jesus die if he didn't need to? Okay. But you know what? Did you ever stop to really look at the other religions? Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I'm sure they're not intolerant. It's for everybody. As long as you're baptized as a Jehovah's Witness. Do you realize that Jehovah's Witnesses are going to say that you're not going to heaven? They'll even come to your door and tell you. You know, we're the ones who are intolerant. No, we're not. Wait a second, time out. We're not the only ones intolerant. Basically, every belief system is intolerant. Jehovah's Witnesses is going to say those who are Christians are not going to heaven. Why? Because we haven't been baptized as Jehovah's Witness. And it is funny with the whole 144,000. That was a great number years ago. But now they're in the millions. They're changing their theology a little bit. Oh, I did that again. Let me do that again. Mormons. They give a whole list of... Backspace. There. Mormonism. No eternal life without Mormon church membership. Do Mormons believe that it doesn't matter what you believe, that you'll go to heaven? Or they believe only their beliefs? No eternal life without Mormon church membership. They're intolerant. And I'm okay with that. Just admit it. I want to go to a point with this in a moment, but Church of Scientology, which we hear more and more about, right? But even Church of Scientology that tries to make it like there is no sin or need to repent, that, you know, it's more of in our mind. I was talking with someone on this, and I particularly I was going to punch him. I think I've shared this before. The person was talking to me, and I just went like I was going to hit him, and they went, "Oh!" I said, "What?" They said, "You're going to hit me." I said, "That'd be wrong." They said, "Yeah?" And I said, "Well, there is no sin. Sin's only of our mind, what we think of it, so therefore you thought I was going to hit you. Why would you think that way of me?" And she went, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "Okay, I appreciate you not thinking about me." I said, "So I could have punched you next time, and it'd be your fault." I guess so. I'm liking this religion. my anger management, I'm okay. But even here, you have to go through like their auditors to get that state of clear because of, you know, it's their own belief system. Unification Church, I don't know how much you're familiar with this, but they have their true parents, and it even comes down to drinking preacher's blood and stuff like that. We're not going to be doing that here. But they have their own, what they believe with it. Islam, come down to Allah, and Allah is the one who can press on the scale and change things. Hinduism, you know, breaking these cycles, but yoga and meditation, you know, they have their ways. And I guess something that encourages me, and I don't know if you'll agree with me on this or catch on to this, But just try to think through this. As I watch through the world, and definitely our country, there's Christianity here, and every other belief system is like holding hands. And when it really comes down to it, if you ask them, they don't agree with each other. But there's one thing they agree on. Be against Christianity. Why Christianity? And I guess, since there is a devil, since there is Satan, since there is Lucifer, Beelzebub, the fallen angel, the head demon, he can twist the truth for a lot of them, but he needs to get them against the ultimate one. And it helps confirm in my mind that Christianity is true, as all go against it. It's just interesting. We are at least unique. But you can't take a Bible into the school, but any of these other books are fine. An interesting way to look at it. I'm sorry. Is hell real? What is it like? The scripture talk about hell. I put the phrase up there quickly so we don't have to look up, you know, keep looking, but this passage we're in, Luke 13:28 says a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 3:12, a place of unquenchable fire. Matthew 23:33, a place of damnation, condemnation. Matthew 13:42 and 50 say it's a furnace of fire. Luke 13, which is just chapter 1, verse 13, says a place of blackness and darkness. It's interesting because he says, think about it, there's no color. And then Revelation 21:8, a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I had someone say to me before, we were talking with them about heaven and hell kind of thing, and the conversation came up because I prayed before I ate my meal. And the person said, you prayed. And I'm like, I prayed. And I'm like, really? So, like, do you believe in that? And we started talking about it. And I mean, I didn't, it wasn't like standing up in like this kind of prayer before my meal. Okay? I did bow my head, I did close my eyes because I didn't want distractions. I'm ADD, you know that. I need to be careful with distractions. I don't say you have to close your eyes. I don't say you bow your head. But for me, it's a respectful thing to God, and it helps me from being distracted. All right? It's a dangerous thing because I'm worried people will steal my meal. Okay? So I normally hold a fork and a knife and like this. No. But I was just praying. I was just asking about it. And it came about, and I said, well, what about you? Are you going to heaven or hell? He said, I really don't care. I have friends in both places. There's going to be a party in either place. I don't hear party here. I missed that verse. Recently I turned on the oven, forgetting to check what was already in the oven because we'll store some pans in the oven. I was like, oh, I need to get those out. Note to self. I don't need to finish, and you're laughing at me already. You can picture this. It's okay. I understand that. I don't like things that are hot. I had a doctor ask me, are you allergic to anything? I said, yes, pain. Don't hurt me, I won't hurt you. They follow along really well with this. Getting burned, I just don't like it. Maybe we relate to something. You don't want to agree to admit to it, I understand, but we're like-minded in this. Not my typical party scene. For the person who says, I don't care which way or place I'm going, they're ignorant or lying. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're just ignorant. Wow. There is a place called hell. And the majority of people are going there. And God has, Jesus' last words on earth. We're encouraging us to go out. to all the people and share the good news. So I get to the fifth question. How can I be saved? How is it that I can be saved? And maybe you're in a situation right now like, I never thought about that much before. I was talking to a girl last summer. And she wanted to come to Oakland Christian. She had gone to a Christian school and raised a Christian home in a church. 10th grade. She wants to come to our school. And to come to Oakland Christian, if you're a secondary student, you've already had to profess Christ as Savior. I can't tell you they're saved or not. I let God do that. That's more His job than mine. But I have to hear the testimony. And I said, when you die, you're going to heaven. She goes, I don't know. I said, really? She goes, I really never thought about it. I said, you're raised in a Christian family. You went to a Christian school before coming here. You go to church, and you've never thought about it? Wow. I look at your test scores, and you're too intelligent to be that ignorant. I'm confused. And I don't know if I offended her by that. I guess hopefully. But really, when you hear something like this, you need to evaluate it. And I realize I'm talking to a very intelligent group right now. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. A simple little ABC. If we do little building blocks. A, admit you're a sinner. I think before we can get saved, we need to realize we're lost. Admit you're a sinner. We don't deserve heaven. We're not going to heaven on our own. To be allowed into heaven the way we are, we would wreck it. Sorry. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. The difference in my life has to be through Jesus Christ. Believing that it all comes down to that point of earth, that everything leads to that point, everything looks back at that point. Jesus died for our sins. He who knew no sin died for our sins. And although they buried him, he rose again. He conquered death so he can offer us eternal life. And then C, confess that Jesus is Lord. And there's big debates on something called Lordship salvation. And I don't really like to get into that. But I really do believe that if you confess Jesus is Lord, it should change the way you live. I'm not going to say you have to change the way you live before you're saved. I believe that was hurting your ears, so I moved. And it was hurting my ears, so I moved too. When you believe something, it should change the way you live. Make a difference in our lives. This picture is a difficult one for me. Because it's a loving father, a loving son. And just watching John Travolta, who is such an actor. Do you know what I'm talking about here with his son Jet just passing away from seizure, a week and a half ago? And just watching the eyes of them. This is not acting to me. This is like they caught him as he is with his son. Absolutely in love with his son. And his son looking up at dad like, man, you're my hero, dad. And just that bond. And to hear the 16-year-old dying as a parent, We all know how difficult that is for us to even think of that concept. But what's been difficult on the news is for people constantly saying, well, he's in a better place. Or I heard one lady say, and the angels came down and just took him to heaven. So I'm not going to say anybody likes funerals, but funerals are difficult for me. Because we've watched somebody who lives a certain lifestyle their whole life, and then it's like, oh, they're in a better place now. And as the preacher, the pastor, it's kind of like, you know, I can't agree with you. But I don't want to be rude. This isn't the setting to talk about it. You understand what I'm talking about at all? You know, someone says that so-and-so died, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's really bad because, I mean, they're in hell forever. I mean, that's just not what they normally want me to hear for me, right? Nor is that a place for me to say it. But statistically speaking, is it fair to say that most funerals a person's going to hell? And if you have to think of that question, you missed my whole message. Narrow is the path of those going to heaven. Broad is the path of those going to hell. And many are going, few are going this way. I'm sorry to do that to you again. But few are going this way. The majority of funerals. So when I speak to a funeral, first of all, I don't speak to the person who's dead. I know I'm pretty intelligent. Try to comfort the family, because that's where you can make a difference and let them know what the truth is. Pray for them regularly, that God would comfort them and draw them to Him. But salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for this church. I am so thankful for the testimony of this church. I'm so thankful for you pulling so many families away from China and Taiwan and just to bring them over here for their studies, for an opportunity for them to hear of your Son Jesus. I thank you for the numerous salvations that have come that way, and now on how they're raising their children here to follow you. I pray, first of all, for this group here, that if they haven't put their trust in you, that today would be a day of salvation. That they'd pull Brady or myself aside, somebody they're comfortable with talking to, and pray and giving their life to you. I pray for those here whose parents may not be spiritually sensitive to you, that you'd give them wisdom in how to live as an example before them, what to say and when to say it, and their parents would get saved and totally follow you. I pray for those of us who are parents, for wisdom in raising our children in the truth, for your blessings and living life as an example of following you, of asking for forgiveness when we do wrong, expecting each other to live in truth. Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for sending your Son. In His name we pray. Amen.